What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Media Entrepreneurs Podcast, teaching you how to become a full-time entrepreneur by leveraging modern-day social media growth strategies. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, we are talking about a cliche that I've been saying forever, that I've been hearing from everyone forever, that I always thought was the smartest sounding cliche, and I agreed with it until recently. I realized it just ain't true, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. And it's going to make a lot of sense of why I decided this was actually important enough to make an episode about. So, of course, we are talking more about the mindset side of things today rather than the tactical side of things like the last few episodes have been. And, you know, we're getting right back into the tactics. But these are the episodes that really shape people's futures much more so than me telling you how many hashtags to put on your post or what time you should post. If you can really take this in and grow from it and gain a stronger entrepreneur mentality, that is how you will succeed, my friends. I gotta be honest, I've been in a good mood for over a month straight now, and it is so much due to being an entrepreneur who has location freedom. I won't say financial freedom because I think most people's perception of that is quite a bit higher, where you're like, all right, now I got like $20 million or something, right? Like at least $1 million in the bank is probably more where like societal standard of financial freedom is, but I'm okay. I can have fun. And just the location freedom and time freedom right there is so rewarding, my friends. And I hope you take inspiration from that to stick on your entrepreneur journey, because that's why a lot of you started it, is because you want freedom, not just with, I want a lot of money, but I want to be able to work where I want to work, be able to take off time when I want to, wake up when I want to, go to bed when I want to, put in the extra hours when I want to, and just have a little bit more control of my life. I just got done with a vacation visiting family. I got a sick grandmother, so I surprised her. And it's these things like this that you can't really do if you're tied down at work. You got to request time off. You don't have the paid hours to even get off, or you don't make enough to be able to even take the time off. Whatever it may be, if you got family in need that needs you, then that needs you to go visit them, you want to be able to do it. And I'm blessed to be able to have just gone back from the trip, and I'm ready to light you up on this podcast. So the cliche we are talking about today is failure is the greatest teacher. And it is a great teacher, but it is not the greatest. Let me explain. Let's talk about through the lens of choosing a career. When someone wants to figure out what they want to do with their life, this is something we all can relate to. Maybe even right now, you don't know exactly what you want to do, and you go out there and you try to figure out what you want to do in life. Let's say you go to college and you pick a major that you think you're going to love, and a year in, you just hate that major. So you failed, right? Failure is the best teacher. Let's put this to the test. A lot of times when people figure out which major they don't want to do, it doesn't necessarily tell them what they want to be. It might, like if they only had a couple ideas and it was, hey, it's this or this, it's doctor or it's lawyer. All right, it's definitely not doctor. I crossed that out. It's lawyer, I get, like that would be the only way that it really tells you what to do. But in a lot of cases, when people change their major in college, they are just stumped at what to do next. They really don't know where to go. They got a couple ideas, but failure doesn't necessarily tell them which way to go. It just tells them which way not to go. Now, let's take an example that that person says, all right, maybe I want to be a teacher. So let me go job shadow a teacher for a day. And they do that and they love it. So this would be a success. They found something they like. That tells them to be an education major. That tells them to go be a teacher. Success leads to more success. Success is the greatest teacher. And the reason why this is very important to acknowledge is because when you believe failure is the greatest teacher and you really live by that, it can make you more risk aggressive than you should be. And this is a lot coming from me, because the epitome of entrepreneurship is to be risky in ways, but it also is to be risk averse in the ways that you can. And this is a way that I've seen entrepreneurs, including myself, get way too risk averse, because you're kind of operating on the premise of, hey, win or lose, failure would be the greatest teacher. So let's give an example in online marketing. Let's say you spend $1,000 on a Facebook ad campaign to try to sell your product, and you sell $0 worth of product. You failed, right? And failure, of course, I don't even like that word. I would love to find a new word, but it's just kind of how we talk about it. And in this case, it's what the cliche uses. Failure is what is the greatest teacher, right? So in this case, you spend $1,000 on Facebook ads, $0 in sales. You look at the funnel and you can kind of guess, hey, maybe they didn't buy because of this. Maybe they didn't buy from the price, or the website looked untrustworthy. Maybe we don't have enough followers. Maybe the copywriting's bad. Maybe it's just the hook. Maybe it's the image that's bad. Maybe it's the email sequences. You don't really know. You've got a lot of guesses. You can look at where the kinks are in your funnel and where you're mostly losing people to make some guesses. But as to why those people left, you still don't know. So failure is a good teacher in this situation, but it doesn't tell you how to now go run a successful Pinterest ad campaign or even a successful Facebook ad campaign, because you can't say, all right, I spent $1,000. I didn't sell anything. I know exactly how to do it now. That is not the position that it leads you to. But if you were to have an ad campaign where you spend $1,000 and get $1,500 in sales, do you now know what tweaks to make to maybe make that produce more like a 2x or 3x ROI a lot more easily? Yeah, it's a lot more clear in that situation, because you can say, all right, this ad didn't work, this one did. This audience didn't work, this one did. This price point, this offer, whatever you were testing, you now have a variable that worked and a variable that didn't, rather than just a bunch of variables that didn't. So I think it's just kind of obvious that like failure, it teaches you something. It closes a door, but there's something about finding some means of success, some kind of trail that will lead you to the goal. The trail leading to that pot of gold is what ultimately gets you there, not the just path of dirt that you're like, oh, this is not it. It just tells you where not to go. So make sure you know this, because I've heard business owners, when they talk about going into their first business, they say, hey, even if it fails, I'll be okay. You don't fucking say that yet. You don't say that yet. You never go into a business thinking, hey, win or lose, I'll be okay. That would be as if Tom Brady, when he was trying to come back in Super Bowl 52, when he was down 28-3 against the Falcons in the third quarter, was just telling his team, hey guys, win or lose, you're all winners in my book. Just let's go out there and have fun. That is loser talk, my friends. You do not talk about losing until it happens. Once the failure happens, oh well, reset the goal. Let's restart. I learned some things. Let's do it again. No problem. It doesn't have anything to do with me being a bad entrepreneur. It just means that I have this failure. But hey, the true test of entrepreneurship is being able to move on from this without loss of enthusiasm. Famous Winston Churchill quote, success is moving from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And that's something that I've been pretty good at, I must say, where whenever something doesn't work for me, I am so excited about my next idea, because I'm just even more sure about the next one because I closed the door, right? Why wouldn't you be more sure about your next idea if your last one just closed the door and made it a little bit more clear for you? Why wouldn't you be more confident if now you have a little bit more skill in whatever you were doing, right? Hey, it was my first Facebook ad campaign ever, but now I get how to work the functionality, and I get how audiences work. I get my pixels warmed up now. I just kind of get how it works now, and I've got some really good ideas for my next one. That's ultimately how you want your mindset to be in entrepreneurship, that even when you fail, it just makes you so much more excited about your next attempt, because it's based on more things. It's like when Edison was inventing the light bulb. Sure, those failures, those 10,000 light bulbs that didn't work, right? He said, I've never failed once. I just found 10,000 ways to not make a light bulb. That is literally how you should be seeing all these failures. But at the same time, was he trying to fail? Was every light bulb like, this one's going to work, this one's going to work, this one's going to work? That's the mindset you need. When you're going through your ideas, you still attack it with like, this is going to work for sure. And then when it doesn't, you don't say, oh man, I guess I was wrong. You're just saying that to yourself because that's what creates the most ambition. That's what creates the most confidence. That's what creates the most action. So you really have to be okay as an entrepreneur, almost having a blind sense of confidence that is just so sure that your ideas are so good and you can't wait to try it out and you just really want to try your next idea and get it going. And that is what keeps you going. Like the thought that you're always just a couple inches from gold and you're going to strike it for sure. But then when you don't, you're just now even more sure that you're closer to that gold is really how to process failure in the right way. It just makes you closer. But when you get, like if you were chiseling away at this gold mine and then a little bit of gold shows up, that success, that gold is going to help you find more gold more so than dirt is going to help you find more gold. Would you agree? And that's why success is always the best teacher. So pursue success in everything you do. You are not trying to have this first business fail so that your next one can succeed. You're not trying to have this first product launch go okay and you don't really have high expectations. I know it's very hard to even set expectations for what sales to get. And usually if people set very high expectations, they will not be met when they're new because they really don't know what kind of numbers to go off of, or you know, they really don't know how to anticipate any part of it. And that's totally fine. And that's why it's just set a goal, go after it with full confidence. If you don't hit it, then you learn from it and you keep going, but your confidence should only build as you go because it just is telling you that you're getting closer and closer and closer. If you just imagine you're just in this hallway of thousands of doors and failures, you just keep closing doors. This is really good. But then if the success would be you just finding some breadcrumbs that really lead you to that right one, the success compounds a lot better. The other thing is, although I'm telling you when you get failures that you should be more confident in pursuing your next venture, which is absolutely true, it's a lot easier said than done, I know, for a lot of people, especially before you've really had success play out for you, which again proves my point further, that if you had success in a previous business, it's very easy to take that success and confidence from anything you've ever done and apply it to anything else you'll ever do, which is why a lot of times athletes make great entrepreneurs, because they're like, well, hey, if I could be a successful high school quarterback, I knew I was up against a lot of people who wanted that position. I worked every day. I came through. I had doubts. I had fears. I had moments where I didn't think I was going to make it, and I still prevailed. And the same thing's going to happen now. And you really got to give yourself those stories in life, no matter how you got to give it to yourself. If you've been failing, you got to make sure that narrative stops as soon as possible, because failure is so much in your control. All right, is a large point that I'm trying to drive in here. I think a lot of you, if you looked back at this year, of what money did you spend on your business that didn't work out, there'd be times where you say, you know what, I really didn't know. I thought it was a great idea, and I did it, and it didn't work out, but it was a good learning experience. But if I'm being honest with myself in hindsight here, I made the right decision. Like, I made the best decision I could. I have no regrets in investing that way or attending that conference or whatever. But then you'll also see that there are some failures on the table where you said, you know what, I could have seen that one from a mile away, and I still did it. And that means that you're very entrepreneurial, which is great. You're going to make it. But there is a level where, like, for me, there is something that I did that I invested in like 3 or 4 months ago that I was like, if I really thought about it, I would think my chances of it working were, like, I kind of knew them to be about 50%. And I was like, all right, 50% chance to work, 50% chance to learn an amazing lesson, because failure is the greatest teacher. And there's just something about that that makes you so okay with it, but it's not good, because then you're like, all right, I'll take those odds. And then when I thought, like, well, what other options that I have on the table, and I laid those out, I was like, there is one option that would have been blaringly more obvious for me to do to promote my podcast, that to spend money on advertising in that way. And I threw $1,000 at this other thing, and it was total shit. It really didn't, obviously I'm spending money to get podcast listeners, not to get sales. So it's not really like a direct ROI kind of ad campaign that you take note of. It's more of a long-term play, but still I was like, I know this other thing would have been so much better. And the Derek who made that decision knew that too, but I just wanted to fuck around because I'm an entrepreneur and I was being risk averse. And I said, hey, failure is the greatest teacher, is kind of like out of the root of it. You know, even if I didn't directly say that, subconsciously, if you have this idea embedded in you, it can make you be too risk averse when you know that you were choosing to fail, or you weren't choosing the best possible idea that you could have done. Another example that I really like is my friend TC Smith. I'll tag him below because he's an influencer as well. He's a fitness influencer. I wouldn't call myself an influencer. I guess I'm an entrepreneur influencer, I guess. But he's a fitness influencer and coach and everything, and he's doing a great job. I'll tag my buddy TC Smith below. There's this one time that I was on a company trip with him because I sold Cutco with him, and we were on a company trip and he brought a slack line and he let us all do it for a while, right? Without teaching us much lessons, just kind of gave us the basics of how we would stand up there. And if you don't know what a slack line is basically is a low tight rope that you just make yourself between two trees. So we just like tied it around some palm trees and made like about 10 foot walkway, if you will. It's just like this like couple inch thin band. I'm not explaining it the best, but yeah, you just tightrope across it, right? And you have to have really good balance. And after a bit, he said, all right guys, I'm gonna teach you the lesson now that I've been wanting to teach you. I wanted to let you guys all have at it and do your best without a lesson, but I'm gonna teach you the first rule of slackline, and that is you choose when you fall. And it really registered with me because it really made me realize that there's a point that you start to lose your balance and you jump off. And you're like, oh, whoa, 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 wobble, wobble, and you jump off. And when you take it whereas, hey, you choose when you fall off or not, you realize how many of those situations you can save, that you start to get unbalanced and you're like, no, 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 I'm not choosing to fall. I will not fail here. I am choosing success. I am not okay with the failure. And that being largely unokay with that failure happening and knowing like I can keep myself on this and having 100% in belief in that will always keep you on longer than otherwise, right? So of course, can I fall still? Obviously, but having the belief that like I choose when I fall off and I am not okay choosing it now is what keeps you on it. And it's the same thing with success. Did you guys know this? When you make a decision, the root of the word decision, deci, means to cut off. And the rest of the word means just choices, right? So like the literal meaning of the word decision is to cut off all other choices. It doesn't mean to choose what you want to do. It means to cut off all other paths other than what you want to do. Because this is ultimately the only way to create your own destiny. And people who don't get a hold of this don't ever get it. They don't have control of their life because they don't realize how much cutting off the other options as even a possible reality in their minds gives them such control over their lives. So let's say that you're pursuing a goal this year. Well, I'm going to do a fitness goal instead of a business goal. And let's just say that that fitness goal is that you have to work out 5 times a week for the entire year. How much is hitting that goal a choice?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
If you said anything other than 100% of hitting that goal is a choice, you would be wrong. Yet, people fail goals. And then when they get to the end of it, they have excuses because they didn't cut off all other options. They started the goal and they said, hey, I'm going to try to work out 5 times a week this year. I'm going to do my best to work out 5 times a week this year. I really want to work out 5 times a week this year. I'm really hoping to do this. I think I'm going to get a gym membership this next year. And my New Year's resolution, let's see here. To go to the gym 5 times a week. If you talk like that about your goals, as if I don't hit it, it's okay. You already lost. The only way to have control of your life is to cut off all other possible realities other than that one. In this situation, those of you who think, hey, if I told myself my New Year's resolution is to work out 5 times a week, I get what you're saying, Derek. I know it's my choice, but I already know myself. It's not going to work. Like, there's going to be some time or I'm on family vacation and I'm just going to accept my defeat, right? You're not going to do push-ups on the ground and sit-ups on the ground and just work out anyways. You're not going to go to the gym at the hotel. You're not going to get a day pass at the 24-hour fitness down the road like you easily could. So let me ask you this. With a gun to your head, I'm going to blow your fucking brains out if you don't work out 5 times a week next year. What are the chances you can do it? 100%, right? So you can do it without the gun there. And I think it's really necessary for everyone to kind of look at life through this lens every once in a while, like, well, could I do it if everything depended on it? Yes. Would it be a absolute 100% choice at that point for me to do it? Yes, it would. So why is your life the way that it is? Is your life the way you want it to be? Yes or no? Do you have a choice to make your life something other than what it is right now? And in any realm, right? It's not all going to happen at once, but maybe your fitness is off. Maybe your nutrition is off. Maybe your business is off. Your ability to save money, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your girlfriend or spouse, any of that, you can take it out one at a time if you really, really wanted to. Would you agree? Do you agree that you really could, if everything depended on making that situation better, that it would be a matter of choice to do so? Then don't ever kid yourself that life is nothing more than the choices you are willing to make and the discipline you have around those choices and the habits that you form around that and your ability to neglect your negative emotions that take you away from there. Those negative emotions being tiredness, I guess, could be one. And the thing is, yeah, you should get good sleep. You shouldn't be tired. But if you told yourself, I'm going to work out 5 times a week this year, no ands, ifs, or buts, and it gets to the end of the day and it's 11 p.m. and you would need to do it that day in order to accomplish your goal for the week, should you say, hey, I'm tired, or should you drop and do as many push-ups and sit-ups as you can? The second one for fucking sure, all right? Because you already made the decision. You already cut off all other choices. So why are you even making a choice anymore? Why are you saying, well, I'm tired, so yeah, there goes my year. There goes my year. And there goes me lying to myself, you're watching yourself all the time. There's one person that you can never actually fool, and it's yourself. So if you're going to be okay lying to yourself, just expect yourself to keep letting yourself down from then on out, because it's just a habit that you're making. You're making it okay. You're saying you're not making a decision. You're making a suggestion for your life. I suggest I work out 5 times a week next year. You're never going to do it under that premise. Never, ever would anyone do it. Doesn't matter who you are. I'd really suggest that for myself. Hey, I showed up every single time. I made it happen. The only way this happens is if there is no reality that exists apart from that one. Not that you talk of, not that you think of. No, it doesn't exist. It literally doesn't exist. Now, if the failure happens, you deal with it then, but it doesn't fucking exist right now, right? It does not exist. So if you have goals for your business next year, I will say that if you come out and you don't really understand the metrics of your business, or you haven't been in business long enough to really know what to expect sales-wise and how much, like this much work equals this much sales, until you can really break down your business into this much work equals this much sales, know that you actually probably shouldn't be setting sales goals in a lot of situations as the main goal that you chase after. You can set that so that you have some kind of metric that's good to shoot at and kind of get some game plan around. But ultimately, if you're a newer business, you should set goals around actions, because those are 100% a choice. You should set goals around whatever is a 100% choice for you. And there is a point in business that hitting a sales goal is a 100% choice for you. And that is the point that you want to get to. But until then, you are having your goals more set around action. If I make this many phone calls a week without exception, there is no reality that exists outside of that happening, then the year will be a success. Then choose the success. Stop choosing the failure. You are being presented both options, and you are choosing the failure in so many of these situations where hindsight will show you later that the choice was yours to make that whole time. So why are you afraid of the failure? That might be something. Otherwise, it can just be that you're very risk averse. That's been more me. Or it can be that you're just okay letting yourself off the hook. You've seen this story before. You already know you're going to fail, right? You failed in college. You failed at that relationship. You didn't do well in high school. You didn't have a lot of friends in high school. You blew the game in the fourth quarter in the volleyball championship. You didn't catch the pass to win the game in football. All that shit's over with. And none of that has anything to do with what you do from here. So throw it away and know that it now is a choice for you to hit your goals moving forward. And if you are failing at the end of the year, right, this year or next year, it is 100% your fault. And that is the beauty of life, because if it wasn't 100% your fault, then we'd just be out here just subject to whatever the shit happens to us. But until you realize really how much control you have, you won't have control of your life. Control your mind, control your schedule, control your emotions, show up anyways, do what you need to do, not what you want to do. And eventually you will become a wrecking ball, guys. You will get so good at just doing what you know you need to do, and everything's just going to start falling in place, and growth is exponential, my friends, and it is awesome. So get to that exponential curve, and let's grow together. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Subscribe, smash all the buttons. You know what to do. Appreciate you guys. I will talk to you Monday morning.